Hello, boys and girls, and this is actually me half an hour after I woke up, so it hasn't been a while since I wake up from my sleep, something that every fucking human has to do. I just realized something. I put my mouse pad on my next to my laptop, and I don't have a mouse next to it, and I'm just like, what the fuck? I put my hand on my mouse pad and just completely forgot that I don't have a mouse next to it. Because I moved my PC and everything to the study room. So my room just has my speakers and stuff just because I can't fit everything in. Plus, it's kind of shitty blasting music when I'm... blasting music in the study room because it's so close to the living room and the kitchen and everything, and so I usually use my headphones, or maybe I do have like Bluetooth speakers, but they're not too loud. But usually, yeah, I just left my speakers in my room. Plus, usually when I want to listen to music, I prefer it to be in a more quiet area, which is my room. My room's probably, it's a lot quieter than the study room, just because, again, like, the study room is connected to everything, so my dog, dog's around, everything is around, that's why I moved everything, but it's just because I needed more space. But now, I think I need to move stuff around again, because I currently have my vinyl player in my room. I busted it out again, because I never had the space in my room, and so I just put it in the living room. But I'm rarely in the living room, so I never use my vinyl player. And now, I was like, okay, I have a lot more space in my room now. Let's, you know, take out my vinyl player back. But, honestly, I've barely used it. Barely used it at all. So I might have to pack it all up again. And just so I can have other space, because right now my table is a little bit more cramped, not as cramped as before, because I used to have my PC, my two like 32 inch monitors and all that stuff, all that jazz on my table. I have a massive table though, but again, I have TV on my table, I have all this PC, everything on my table now, fucking figures on my table. I have this, like, not shrine, but like an area where I have at least a character. You're with your top 10 waifus and stuff. Like, so I have like a Nadeshiko figure, I have Shinobu figure, Shinna figure, just like all my favorite characters, my top 10, I guess, is basically right next to me in a way. I can't really see I can pretty much see all my figures apart from my Makisa Kurisi figure, who's just behind my speakers, so I can't really see her, but if I move a bit to the back, I can see her. So, I would say with my top 10 waifus, if no one really knows, I would say it's kind of like the first and the second. And then, I know the first and the second, but then everyone else is sort of, like, about the same. And my, I guess, not affiliation, but my love for the bottom eight, I guess, is a lot less than the top two. So, like, there's Megumin, who's, like, way on the top. Like, Megumin is the number one. I would say either Megumin or Shinobu. I have a lot more Shinobu figures than I have Megumin figures. I think I have about 11 Shinobu figures. I also have a Figma, this sort of like Nendoroid, but not really, like a cheap version of a Nendoroid of her that I got in Japan. I got like a few, I have like two figures of her that's quite like a good smile, which is a quite expensive figure of her. And then I have a lot of like EXQs, Ichiban Kyuji figures, so more like price figures, which is a lot less expensive. So about $50, maybe some of them even 30, 35. Got a few as well from Japan, which was really cheap. I think it was like 1,000 or 1,500 yen, some of them. So I do have a lot more Shinobi figures. And also there's a lot more Monogatari. And also I love Monogatari a lot more than Konosuba. I do really like Konosuba. Don't get me fucking wrong. I love Konosuba. But number one, I've watched a hell of a lot more Monogatari. And I would say Monogatari is my favorite show. And it is by a massive margin compared to Konosuba. But also, I do really like Megumin. I do like Megumin more than Shinobi in some ways. But that's why sometimes I'm a bit, I would say, conflicted, I guess, with who I like more. But I would have to say that the numero uno, the Ichiban waifu desu, is Megumin, and then I would say Shinobu. It's like they're both sort of, I would say Megumin slightly above Shinobu, and then there's like eight, and the eight is like, it's like a huge step down, and then the rest of the eight. So I would say, if I have to choose like a number three, it's so hard, man. I would say Mai Sakurajima, but put number three. Shinamashiro, I would put number four. Yui Yohama, I would put number five. Nadeshiko Kagamihara, number six. Rin Tosaka, number seven. Maki Sakurisa, number eight. Yui, what's Yui from, what's his, her name, the full name, Yui from K-On!, I keep, because every time I say her name, I always say Yui from K-On! And not Yui Hirasawa. Yeah, I was like, what's her fucking last name? Yeah, Yui Hirasawa. Because I always say Yui from K-On! And not Yui Hirasawa. And then number 10, Sena Kashiwazaki from Haganai. I would say those are that's probably my top 10. I would say the other character, if you go to my room, you probably think I am a huge fan of MASH, because I have three MASH figures, two Ichiban and one, like, expensive, like, good smile figure of her. So, I look like the biggest Fate Grand Order fan. A big fan of Fate in general. I am a fan of Fate, but I would say my love for Fate is, I guess, I don't know. I do really like Fate, though. It's just they have a lot of stuff, like a lot of merch. And it's probably one of the only shows that I like that is quite, that is very popular, as especially with the merch section, because, Monogatari has a lot of merch. Like, Monogatari has a lot of figures, a lot of, just towels, blankets, whatever the case may be, cups, but the problem is that Monogatari is not that big in Australia, so I don't get to get as much merch as I would want to with Monogatari. Like, a lot of stuff I got when I was in Japan, just because, number one, they were they're so much cheaper, and as well as the fact that it's a lot easier to find. I feel like it's a tiny bit hard. There's a lot of Monogatari. I want to have every single character from the Monogatari, especially the ones that I like. But I still don't have an Ononoki figure, which is a fucking shame. I'm actually going through eBay looking at it right now. You can get pretty cheap stuff on eBay, but not that one, though. Who's selling that figure? Sega Prize, oh, okay, some company all the way in the eastern state. Not many people with Ononoki, but I don't really love Ononoki, to be honest. So I would love an Ogi Oshino figure, anything from Ogi, but so I also don't mind Sadachi, so that's the Oikura. I think I was in on the verge of buying an Origi from Amazon, I think. But I think at the time it was really expensive for some reason. So I didn't get it. And turns out it increased in price. So I guess so. The Fire Sisters. This is a figure of like Karin and Saki together. That's probably what I would want to get rather than get two separate ones. I have a lot of Senjigara figures, obviously Shinobu, a few Hanakawa figures. I think I have like
I have one Hanakawa figure.
I have like two Nadeko figure, which is weird because Nadeko is probably my least favorite character in the show. It's, I love that I barely have any character from I don't even have Kiyomi Aragi. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. There's a few I have a few Hachigujis actually.
Also I have a few Hachigujis.
Two Hachigujis in fact. I have a Kumbo Isuruga. Sorry, I'm happy with that. My top three is there. At least. So Kumbo Isuruga. Would I put Hachigujis? I would say a Hachikuji, Senjigara, and then Shinobu. My top three. I'll put Suruga as well in that top five. And then I would have to say, I don't really love Hanakawa, honestly. I don't think she's my least favorite character, but I don't like Hanakawa as much as a lot of people do. So I would say she's just outside of top five. But I would say I would put number five, Ogi. Just, I feel like she's such an interesting character. And I don't know why, I find her really cute for some reason. I know she's, like, scary looking. Especially if you see this fucking Taito figure of her right now. But she's actually a lot cuter in the show, guys. Like, do not be fooled by the figures of her. Because her feature, she looks like a fucking ghost. She still kind of looks like a ghost, but I don't know why. I just really like Ogi. I don't know why. I also really like Sodachi. I like Anonoki as well. There's not a single shit Monogatari girl, which is a good thing. And then I think I want to discuss the meat of this podcast, which is probably in the title. Why I believe that the Silent Voice manga is much superior than the movie. Yes, lads. If anyone's already reading the title and going apeshit, no, I do not hate the movie at all. I gave it a 9 out of 10 on my anime list, and I stand by it. It is a 9 out of 10. It's one of the best movies that I've seen, and best anime movies that I've seen. Maybe one of the best movies in general that I've seen. The thing that discusses bullying and it's such a rare thing watching from the angle of the bully rather than someone getting bullied. I know that Shoya ended up being bullied, but it's quite interesting being in the eyes of someone who is a bully, especially in volume 1 of the manga, or at least in the beginning of the movie as well. How you are Shoya you're looking at Shoya from a period of time. You're in her, like, he is the main focus. Like, him as a bully, which is when he was younger, was the main focus of, like, the beginning of the show. So you are in the perspective of a bully. So it's quite interesting because you always look at stuff from, you always get the perspective of the person getting bullied in shows and in books and stuff like that. So I really love that aspect. And also I really love the aspect of with things like bullying, it's very complicated, right? It's not just like one guy. It's not like, hey, this guy hits this guy, or this guy humps this guy, and then, or girl. And that's it. Like, it's always more, there's so many emotions that carries through it. Not only do people who bully, they blame themselves and they, have, they feel bad about what they do and regrets that they have, but also the fact that bullying causes people to, even the bullies, even the people getting bullied themselves, causes them to blame themselves and have second thoughts of how they live their lives and change their perspective of life. And it's such a beautiful story, man. It's so complicated. It's so, not complicated, but it's so different. With a lot of anime movies, but it's extremely difficult to have a movie based on a 7-volume manga. And I think I'm the fact that so many mangas now, like the fact that Demon Slayer anime is like 24 episodes or 25 episodes, and it covers like 7 volumes of manga, like 24 episodes of a show, that's like over 400 minutes. Man, like that's like, let's say an episode of a show is 20 minutes. 24 episodes is like, that would be like 480. Let me double check first though. I do not want to be wrong. I hate being wrong. Plus I have a laptop right next to me. I can just have the internet. I have the internet in front of me. I can access 26 episodes actually. So 20 minutes each, let's say. So that's 520 minutes. Of that's 520 minutes, and then you compare that to A Silent Voice, the movie, Koi no Katachi. I think I'm pretty sure it's 2 hours. Fucking hell. 2 hours and 10 minutes. So that's about 130 minutes. Imagine how much information they have to like jam pack. And reading the manga made me kind of sad, actually, that it wasn't turned into an anime instead. It was turned to a movie. And I've never thought I would feel that way towards such an amazing movie, which is what Koi no Katachi is. It's an amazing movie. It's an amazing anime movie. One of the best anime movies that I've seen. And, again, one of the best anime movies around. But it's so weird, the way it makes me feel about the movie, because I've never... Like I said, I've always been very happy that this movie was made, and I still am, but a part of me thinks that it should have gotten an anime. It should have gotten a 12 episodes anime or whatever, or like a 24 episode anime, whatever the case may be, because it's just so much story. There's just so many things that they're exploring and that was explored in the manga that I wish they explored in the movie, because a lot of things in the movie feels unnatural, and obviously feels rushed. There's no doubt in my mind. Like there's like no, not a single like. Obviously, they have to have 7 volumes. Like I'm like it's right next to me right now. Like 7 volumes of manga. Like it takes you. Just to read it takes you over 3 hours, let's say. And imagine it being turned to a movie. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard to cram all those information in. And I wish we also got a movie as well. I wish we got a show as well. Because there's a few times when that happens, right? Movie was made and then the show was made just to explore, but usually it's the show that was made and then a movie is made that cuts all of the unimportant parts, I guess, if we can call it, of the show. Fuck me, it's hot. Just give me a second. Started recording. I was fucking freezing. Now it's middle of recording and starting to sweat. I think it's very simple just to say the reason why, because that's what everyone says, right? Why is the manga better than the anime? Because the manga explores more. Like, obviously, it has more time. It has more, but for such a manga that's very for a story like this beautiful, in my opinion, you cannot. I think you can justify saying that. You can justify saying that the reason why the manga is superior is because there's more to it in the manga. And the thing is, there's so many things in the manga that they cut off that I would feel really bad for cutting off. It's just so many gold, so much gold, it's so much amazing things in the manga that obviously they just can't include just because for length and stuff. But for example, like there's the first volume of this manga is just his childhood. Apart from like the last, like, so the first few chapters, I think. Apart from the last like chapter or so, all of it is his childhood and how he grew up as, you know, the bully. And also how it explores the teacher in the show. It makes me care more about other characters and also hate other characters more. Like I hate the teacher character a lot more reading this manga because he was there for like 5 minutes and he was sort of like a small character. But he played such a big role in the story, especially in my opinion, and obviously in the manga. And not including that, I guess, because you're always wondering why Shoya was able to get away with it. And a lot of the times the teacher would be like, I feel like the teacher knows that it was happening. And the only time he cared about it is when the bullying got really bad and the principal got involved and the teacher, all the parents got involved. And you get to see that side of the teacher. And also you get more sympathy for Shoya in the, especially his child version, because a big part about the movie, especially watching it, was I'm not the kind of person who forgives easily, right? Even in an anime or a show, even in a fictional setting. Jesus fucking Christ. There we go. It's like my biggest problem with what's that guy's name in Endeavor from My Hero Academia. My biggest problem with him, especially in the later season, was like he's a fucking prick, right? He beats his wife and he turned his wife crazy and basically drove his wife into insanity. He's also a pretty shitty dad. And then finally, like in the final moments of season 4, and even moments in the show, they're trying to make us feel. They try to make us like him more, and try to be like, hey, he's a father trying to make amends with his mistake, yada yada yada. But there's certain things that you can't fucking forgive, like I would say a fucking house, person who's a shitty dad throughout his life and someone who's also a shitty fucking husband throughout his life, I don't think he deserves any sort of he doesn't even deserve any pity. Like why do we have to fucking like him? Like if he dies, I would say I wouldn't really like that. I would really love, and I would say Endeavor is probably my least favorite character in the show. There's obviously other characters a bit annoying, like Minota. I fucking hate Minota from My Hero. Like, most of the people are fine. Like, obviously, Todoroki is fine. Bakugo is a character that is a bit weird, right? Because I hate him in certain ways because he's just a dick. Like, there's not even, like, an ounce of, like, I think in moments where where he probably should have shown a bit more of his person. Maybe that's who he is, but I think there's parts when he probably should have been a little bit more like sympathetic or a bit more, a little bit less fucking angry, right? Like, come on, like he can't be a dick all the time. He would be a dick. He'd still have that. He would still show off that personality that he's a dick. I feel like he's just a fucking angry dude, like someone with anger management issues, and it's so weird how no one really checks up on him on that. But things that I like about him is that he legit doesn't give a fuck, and at the end of the day, he is a hero. He tries to save people. So when people give him shit for saving them, he's like, yo, like, what the fuck? I save you. Like, you should just be okay with that. Like, why? And I remember also when in the Heroes Rising movie, the newest movie, was it the Heroes Rising or whatever the latest movie is? There was like a kid who pranked him, and Deku is just like, oh yeah, haha, that's funny, yeah. I mean, that's our job, you know, if someone calls us, we need to trust it. And Baku is straight up like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, you just wasted our fucking time. Like, why do we need to save people like you? Like, and I really like that. Like, moments where, because Deku is like a little bit of a pussy, right? So I feel like Bakugo sometimes is a lot more likable for me, because in certain situations, I would be more like Bakugo rather than Deku. But also, I think his personality is fucking shit. if Bakugo is just a bit more, like, calm and stuff, and rather than him just being shouty and angry and hitting people or, like, pushing people away, sometimes I would like him to be a bit more soft and a bit more friendly, because I think that that would just make the character a little bit better, a bit more likable. And I don't know why, and why people really like Todoroki. I mean, I like him, but, like, come on, bro. He's not, like, the best character or anything. Yeah, but overall, with the manga, right? Actually, other characters I like more after reading, Satoshi. So the guy with, I know he didn't really have a lot of airtime in the movie. He was one of the dudes that was in the Satoshi Mashiba, the guy with the red hair in the movie. I liked him a lot more. He's a bit overreactive, and he even says I have a bad personality, but he really hates people who bullies other people, and just his reaction to people who bullies others and him doing things that Shoya wouldn't do because he's too scared to do it. I really like that. I really like Tomohiro a bit more. Like, I always find him really funny in the show, in the movie, but I ended up liking him a lot more in the manga. Same as Yuzuru, same as Nishimiya. Like, I think most characters I end up liking a little bit more, but there's certain characters that I love a whole lot more after reading the manga, like the mom, like Shoya's mom. And Naoka is the one character that I go in forums and everyone hates on her. Everyone is always divided on her. But I personally think she's not a... It's a bit like a Bakugo situation again. Like, there are times when things that she does that other people wouldn't do because it's what other people feel, but they can't say. And Naoka would just say it. She is blunt, but she is honest. But the thing is, sometimes when you wish that she gets out of their shell of, you know, being an absolute prick, she doesn't. And there's always like this stage where a story builds or the scene builds, and the finishing top is Naoka being, or Bakugo, or whatever character is, just be a bit nicer, a bit less like the aggressive personality that they have, and instead they're still aggressive, they still act like a prick, and to me that sometimes ruins the overall scene, or the overall build up or to that scene. I don't know, man. Like, I wish again Naoka is a bit more normal. I feel like there's a lot of characters here that's just not normal. This is so weird. But yeah, overall, I would definitely recommend reading the manga. It's just so good. There's more story, there's more things happening, but I genuinely think it's one of the best mangas I've read. And I would give it a 10 out of 10. Hell yeah. Hope to see you guys in a bit. I've been speaking for over 30 minutes. And I'll catch you later. Bye.